Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Do you remember that song about Daisy, Daisy, and the bicycle built for two? Do you want me to sing it? Oh, you don't? Okay, then let's just go right on with the information that I've gathered for you about an amazing group of tandem cyclists and what's called the Race Across America. Here's a brief introduction to the world's toughest bicycle race. This comes from the Race Across America website, which is www.raceacrossamerica.org. For 36 years, RAM, R-A-A-M, Race Across America, RAM, has been challenging ultra-cyclists from around the globe to push their physical and mental limits to the farthest reaches. Starting in Oceanside, under one of the longest piers in California, RAM spans 3,000 miles, climbs 175,000 feet, crosses 12 states, and finishes at City Dock in Annapolis, Maryland, the East Coast sailing mecca. The route travels west to east, traversing three major mountain ranges, the Sierras, the Rockies, and the Appalachians. It crosses four of America's longest rivers, the Colorado, the Mississippi, the Missouri, and the Ohio, and it crosses the Great Plains. Also passing through such iconic American landmarks as the Mojave and the Sonoran Deserts, Monument Valley, the Great Plains, and Gettysburg. Open to amateur and professional racers, and the racing can be configured as solo, two-person, four-person, or eight-person relay teams. There is no other race in the world comparable to RAM, and once again, that acronym stands for Race Across America. This race has become a global icon, having had over 35 countries represented. Not only has RAM proved to be one of the most challenging races in the world, but has become a huge platform for racers to raise awareness and money for charities of their choice. Racers have raised over $2 million per year over the past 5 years. Becoming an official RAM finisher means claiming Ultra Racing's most coveted jersey and medal. And for the lucky few that win their race division, the prized USA plaque. And being among the elite family who call themselves RAM finishers. RAM will always sit at the pinnacle of Ultra Racing accomplishments. Don't miss your opportunity to race to the top. Tailwinds! Okay, now we go to an article from Bicycling Magazine, and their website is bicycling.com. And this headline reads, "These blind cyclists are riding the Race Across America. Team C2C will tackle the 3,000-mile ultra-endurance race on tandem bikes. The stakes couldn't be higher." This was written by Sarah Bartlett, and please be aware that this talks about last year's race. Last year's race was held, the article was dated June 12th in 2018. And just for your information, the race this year is taking place pretty soon, June 11th through the 23rd this year. Again, starting in, Oakland, California, and going on to Annapolis, Maryland. Coming up soon. So now this article, though, referring to last year's race and those blind cyclists that are riding the race on a tandem bike. 18 months ago, when Jack Chen started training for the Race Across America, he hadn't been on a bike since 2012. The longest ride he had ever completed, in fact, was the cycling leg of an Ironman race. But a series of 24-hour simulations on a trainer in his garage convinced him to take on the grueling 3,000-mile ultra-endurance event. Here's a quote from Jack Chen. He says, "I always felt like at the end of 24 hours, this is doable. I can do this," Chen said. "It feels awful, but I can get up. I can do this again." This was on the trainer in his garage, I'm assuming. For Chen and his team called C2C, and I better spell that part for you, it's Team C2C. The first C is spelled S-E-A, and the second one is S-E-E. So it's Team C2C. For the team, for Chen and the team C2C, the challenge of riding in this year's RAM goes well beyond completing what organizers call the world's toughest bicycle race. Chen is blind. So are three of his teammates. Over the course of RAM's 9 days, he and his fellow riders will compete on tandem bikes, each with a sighted pilot, is what it's called, in the front, and a blind stoker sitting in the rear. So you've got the pilot, a sighted pilot in the front, and the blind stoker in the rear. For teammate Dan Berlin, the mission is simple. He says, we are trying to challenge the perceived limits that we have about ourselves and that a lot of people have of themselves, he said. When limits are pushed to the extreme, there is no telling what might happen. To pull off this kind of colossal feat, the team has a crew of 20 people working behind the scenes to bring these ambitions to reality. Here's a quote. There is so much unpredictability in this race. Anything can happen, Chen said, and then Caroline Gaynor, the only team member to previously compete in RAM, had a support car catch fire during the race in 2012. And the quote continues, being willing to take on that unpredictability and rise to the challenge is what will make or break the race. Preparation is key for any long-distance rider, but Team C2C has myriad considerations that other cyclists might take for granted. And here's a quote from Dan Berlin. As an athlete who is blind, the easiest thing for me is going to be riding the bike. From the time I am off the saddle, I have to worry about where I'm stepping, staying off the road, and out of traffic. Am I in the right RV? What am I eating? All of these things become a challenge because we are constantly in an unfamiliar space. Felix Wong, who is the team's crew chief and himself an accomplished rider who has completed the Trans Am bike race and Tour Divide, understands cross-country cycling better than most people. The varied terrain, the changing climate, and barriers both physical and psychological are only a few of the challenges that lie ahead. For Wong, the stakes could not be higher. He said, we have to finish the race or our entire plan is a bust. We believe we can do that. We have very capable athletes. To get the team and crew comfortable with the process, Felix Wong organized overnight race simulations. The preparation was critical for Chen so that he could, this is a quote too, so that he could understand how quickly you need to get off the bike, get changed, eat something, and then try to go to sleep. And how hard it is to try to go to sleep when your heart rate is so high. The simulations were also important for getting the stokers and the pilots. Remember the pilots in the front, the stokers in the back. These simulations help the stokers and the pilots comfortable with sharing a tandem bike. Here's a quote from Dan Berlin. We don't see what's coming up ahead. He's a stoker in the back. We react. We aren't preparing for our climb 100 meters ahead. We just feel the bike change. The trust that Chen and Berlin have in their pilots is immeasurable. There is almost nothing, this is a quote, there's almost nothing more exhilarating and scary for me than being on the back of a tandem, flying down a hill, when I realize that I have almost zero control to keep us on the road, Dan Berlin said. I don't have brakes. I don't have gears. It's putting full faith and trust into the person on the front of that bike. Berlin has been putting in 200 to 300 miles of pace and tempo training per week. But RAM, the race, isn't an ordinary race. He said, we need to be able to train for short distance time trial riding, but one after another, with limited sleep, over 7 days, he said. Chen and Berlin, that's Jack Chen and Dan Berlin, are both experienced endurance athletes with multiple marathons, triathlons, Ironman events, and impressive climbs up Mount Kilimanjaro and doing the Inca Trail, all these things under their belts. But with only 9 months to train for RAM, the task seemed daunting to those around them. Here's a quote, coaches and other folks told us that we shouldn't do this race, Jack Chen said. The people said, wait another year, you've got to put in 20,000 miles. And I said to myself, we are going to do it anyway. That's the kind of adversity I love. Chen, who's an attorney for Google with a degree from Harvard, and Berlin, a co-founder of the vanilla extract company called Rodel, have both found career success off the bike. Yet their stories aren't especially common throughout the blind community. Here's a quote. College-educated blind people in America have a 70% unemployment rate, Jack Chen said. That number hasn't changed in decades. We have to tackle that. Team C2C rider, whose name is Tina Ament, who's an assistant U.S. attorney and a Yale graduate, wrote on the team's Facebook page about facing questions over her ability to complete simple tasks during job interviews throughout her career. This passion and concern led the team to hire a documentary film crew to follow their journey competing in RAM. They hope that by recording the hardest physical challenge of any of them have ever taken on, it will serve as an answer to the question they and other people who are blind hear all too often. That question is, how are you going to do that? And another quote, when people aren't really in contact with successful people who are blind, it's kind of hard for them to envision what they are actually capable of, Felix Wong said. And he is, as you remember, the crew chief for the team. By pedaling from Oceanside, California, all the way to the finish line in Annapolis, Maryland, this month, Team C2C hopes to change that narrative. Here's a quote to end the article. For me, it wasn't enough to put out how I live life as a blind person, Chen said. It wasn't about putting out their crazy, extraordinary success, both on and off the bike. So next we have an article. This one's from a slightly different point of view, also about that race in 2018. This one comes from the Saturday Evening Post, and it's dated on June 7th last year. It was written by Nicholas Gilmore. And this article is titled, Why Blind Cyclists are Taking on the Toughest Race in America. Team C2C is pedaling 3,000 miles in a week to gain traction for a worthy issue. On June 16th, this was last year, a team of four cyclists will start pedaling on a pier in Oceanside, California, and they won't stop until they've reached City Dock in Annapolis, Maryland. Team C2C will log more than 3,000 miles, crossing through desert, mountains, and plains. The scenery of the journey is superfluous, however, since all four cyclists are blind. This team is taking part in what's called the Race Across America, or RAM, a bike race that has been widely declared one of the toughest in the world since it started in 1982. RAM is longer than any of the European Grand Tours and excludes their rest days. The RAM remains open to amateur cyclists and qualifying solo competitors. Racers climb an accumulated 170,000 feet and cross 12 states in under 9 days. Team C2C began as an idea between members Jack Chen and Daniel Berlin. Both are regular endurance athletes, but their participation in RAM is aiming to draw attention to what they perceive as a systemic issue, blind unemployment. Almost 60% of visually impaired people ages 21 to 64 are unemployed. This is according to Cornell University's 2016 American Community Survey. While the latest national unemployment rate is at 3.8%, Team C2C believes U.S. companies are still missing out on the wide range of skills in the blind population. Here's a quote from Jack Chen. He says, "We are trying to stoke the fire in the minds of hiring managers and companies everywhere that there is an incredible talent pool out there that nobody is tapping into." And Chen said this. He is an attorney in Google's New York offices. Chen navigates his way to work in Chelsea with the help of a cane. He is totally blind, with no light perception whatsoever, but he hasn't let that impede him from hiking the Inca Trail, running 9 marathons, and climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. Daniel Berlin is similarly interested in epic adventures, having completed the Ironman Triathlon, two marathon trail runs in New Zealand, and crossing the Grand Canyon. Berlin is the CEO of Rodel, a vanilla extract and spice company based in Fort Collins, Colorado. And although he perceives some light and contrast in his periphery, he is legally blind. The most proficient cyclist on the team is Christina Ament, and she is an assistant U.S. attorney for the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., where she lives with her guide dog, whose name is Higgins. Christina Ament has been competing in ultra cycling events for several years. Some of the ones are the 24-hour Bessie's Creek Race outside of Houston. But the Race Across America, RAM, will be her most ambitious race to date. Team C2C is rounded out by Kyle Kuhn, who has worked locally and federally advocating for blind employment. As a teenager, Kyle Kuhn was one of the first blind competitive rock climbers in the U.S., and he is one of only 9 blind competitors to complete an Ironman triathlon in under 12 hours. The logistics of a cross-country bike race, Chen says, are incredibly complicated. Team C2C will be moving 8 tandem bike riders, 4 competitors, and 4 pilots, 20 crew members, and 2 RVs all the way from the Pacific to the Atlantic. And that doesn't include the film crew shooting a feature-length documentary. Preparation is the key. The team can't afford for any of its members to face injury from tripping over equipment, so strict organization will be a priority. For the visually impaired, that includes taping shapes onto gear to mark ownership. Each rider will ride for 4 hours and then rest for 4 hours, with alternating cyclists constantly pedaling for about a week. Team C2C will roll through most of the terrain types of this country that this country has to offer. While sighted cyclists might note the spectacular views, the hazy sunrises during such a journey, the blind riders will perceive the diverse American landscape differently. They are used to gleaning information about the world around them from their other senses. Chen says the feeling of the sun tells direction. A field of garlic is immediately recognizable, and even the sound of riding through a forest differs from cruising over a mountain. Berlin compares cycling blind to camping at night. He says, you can hear the snap of every branch. The experience is totally different, but it's not that you enjoy it any less. You just experience it in a completely different way. Well, given the career achievements of the members of Team C2C, each cyclist is living proof of the potential of blind people in the workplace. When employers list the attributes of potential hires, they aren't looking for someone who can drive themselves to work each day, Dan Berlin says. Some of the strongest candidates for being able to problem solve, deal with pressure, interact with others, to listen, and are going to be the people who have done that their whole lives, because that's what they depend upon. Berlin started to lose his sight as a teenager, and he regrets that he hid it from others for years. Maneuvering around steady vision loss to finish school, play football, and work at the Hershey factory gave him a unique perspective and capability, however, that he believes is valuable in his career. Two of the others, Ament and Chen, both navigated years of secondary education without sight and largely without the current technology that aids blind people in school. While occasional Braille textbook translations have been available, programs like Apple's VoiceOver present renewed opportunities for the visually impaired in the age of the iPhone. Chen says, web design and browsing has always been difficult for the blind because of its visual nature. Is a quote, tech can change that, but the question is whether people are willing to consider the impact of what they build. Interfaces like dynamic loading websites can be exclusionary to visually impaired people. One solution to the disparity of accessible technology could be the inclusion of more blind people in industry decision-making roles. Here's a quote. "We see our role as driving awareness," Chen says of Team C2C. And he continues, "opening up this question, highlighting success, and then being able to partner with organizations on the ground who can match people with job opportunities to create environments where people who are blind can be successful." The other side of advocacy for blind employment is government policy. Ament was present at the White House South Lawn when George H.W. Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act into law. She said, "I was thrilled that someone recognized the struggles that brought me down for around 20 years that made me wonder if I was actually inferior or undeserving. I had employers tell me in my references that they wouldn't hire a blind person," Ament said. Well, the question now is whether or not the ADA applies to all web interfaces and how best to enforce it. Ament says it absolutely applies, but a larger conversation about web accessibility needs to happen. That conversation may be getting underway, at least according to Kit Wessendorf, an accessibility engineer with the Paciello Group. Wessendorf said that companies and retailers have been seeking help to make their websites more accessible to vision-impaired consumers, particularly after a handful of lawsuits against Target, Disney, and Netflix. He ends with a quote, "Whenever you try to make your practices more accessible, you are making it easier and more organized for everyone." And the quote continues from Kit Wessendorf, who is an accessibility engineer. He says, "For many accessibility professionals, it's personal. A person with vision impairment is not the liability that some employers perceive. Plenty of organizations are willing to help build the framework for greater web accessibility." Wessendorf teaches disability etiquette, techniques for crafting inclusive information and communication technologies, as well as performing access audits. Ament believes policy can only go so far in the struggle to combat blind unemployment. The rest has yet to be done by things like we're doing when people are shown evidence that appeals to them on a personal level. And the final bit of information from this article from the Saturday Evening Post says, that's why the team has decided to take to the streets in an ultimate display of national publicity. Team C2C is trying to show as many people as possible that excellence is not only possible for the visually impaired, but right in plain sight. With a fleet of vehicles emblazoned with their logo and their mission, and the lasting influence of this documentary film, these cyclists hope to move the meter on public perceptions of blindness across the country. Well, to round out this story about the Team Ram and this year's race, remember, it's beginning right about now, June 11th to the 23rd in 2019, all the way from California to Maryland. We have this article comes from Bicycling Magazine, again, bicycling.com. It says, crazy things happen to your body during RAM. Can't hold your head up? Join the club. Racing 3,000 miles and 175 feet of elevation in 9 to 12 days can really take its toll. This article is written by Celine Yeager. When Len Forkas opened his eyes, he was staring straight at an oncoming guardrail. The Reston, Virginia native was so fatigued 4 days into his 2012 solo attempt at Race Across America, a single-stage race from Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland, that he nodded off while careening at 20 miles per hour down a 1,500-foot descent off of an 8,300-foot mountain pass into Durango, Colorado. A quote, "I was so spent in the altitude that I just fell asleep. I opened my eyes, looking at the guardrail. If I had slept another 2 seconds, I would have catapulted over a 1,000-foot drop. There was nothing beyond the rail but air, trees, and rocks." Some of the things that can happen. First one is called elephant ankles and grapefruit knees. If you want to make the time cutoffs, you need to keep pedaling, which means precious little time to put your feet up. That means swelling in your lower extremities as gravity takes its toll. A quote, "We use compression wear, but eventually everyone is walking around with big, fat elephant ankles," says Schluter, who was a doctor who was actually the team doctor for RAM. The exertion itself also can lead to pretty profound swelling. Here's a quote, "After a huge push over the Wolf Creek Pass in Colorado, my knees looked like grapefruits. I had to stop and put 5-pound bags of ice on them while my crew worked on me to get the swelling down." Another possibility that might happen, the dreaded Shermer's neck. If you've ever done a century ride, you know that it's common to feel a little stiffness and soreness in your neck. When you do a couple of double or triple century rides day after day, there's a chance your neck muscles will send up the white flag and surrender to gravity, leaving you unable to hold up your head. This condition is deemed Shermer's neck. This is named after one of four cyclists who raced the inaugural RAM race. He had to literally hold up his head with one hand in order to finish the event. Since then, racers have become more, you might say, inventive in their approaches to combat this potentially debilitating condition. And this section ends with a quote from RAM veteran Katie Lindquist, who said, "We used a Pringles can taped to the handlebars with a sponge to rest our head on. We called it the Tower of Power." Then they have things like delirium and needing that can of Pringles to hold your head up. They also have to deal with mundane pains and obstacles common to everyday long-distance racers, like numb hands, dehydration. They actually can use IV fluids that are very helpful. They also have to deal with overheating, ice-cold liquid, and also white arm sleeves soaked in ice water can keep you cool. And, of course, saddle sores. And here's a quote, "Never experienced pain like that in my life." And the advice that Forkus gives, the guy who was heading into the guardrail, says, "Change your shorts at least 3 times a day. Well, you too could be a stoker. Go find a sighted friend who likes to bike. Find a tandem bike, hop on, and you're off. And don't forget, this year the race is from June 11th to June 23rd. Now, to end the program today, I have a quote for you to think about. Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. This very famous quote was originally stated by the very famous Albert Einstein. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.